during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Save more on the brands you trust to deliver on the job. Right now, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 8-amp-hour battery when you buy a DeWalt 10-inch 20-volt max dual bevel compound miter saw. Plus, get up to 35% off select major appliances. Save even more on what you need to keep the job moving. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
What exactly is psychopathy? What makes a person a psychopath? Can they control it? How does it come on? Does it ever go away? Those are just some of the many questions that I ask Dr. John Edens in this five-part series, What Makes a Psychopath? Here's another piece of that conversation. Is psychopathy something that develops throughout life, or is it something that people are born with and then it just continues to grow as they get older? Is it something that can come on later in life or through experiences and such?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question. It's hard to do really good research that is truly, you know, longitudinal. There are some interesting projects going on that have sort of tried to track the development of this disorder. But a lot of the research that's been done, unfortunately, is retrospective, where you take people who appear to be adult psychopaths and you find out information from them and then contrast them to people who aren't really all that terribly psychopathic. And look for differences and try to extrapolate from that what led them to be different. That's, you know, there's a lot of evidence that people that are highly psychopathic report higher levels of child abuse in their backgrounds. And that doesn't surprise me that necessarily is something that might be relevant. But, you know, these are adults also who are trying to explain away why they are the way they are and who really knows what was going on during their childhood. To go back to your question, I mean, there's certainly a genetic component to this. You know, psychopathic traits and antisocial traits to some extent do sort of run in families. That doesn't mean if your dad seemed a lot like Ted Bundy that you're going to grow up to be Ted Bundy. But there is we shouldn't ignore that genetics play some role in this. And it's obviously nature matters, but nurture matters quite a bit. You know, In the mental health field, we think a lot about developmental trajectories, and particularly in terms of treating or trying to, you know, prevent the development of things. We talk a lot about what things are relevant for trying to get somebody off of a bad sort of pathway, whether that's going to prison or developing a personality disorder. There is some interesting work being done to try to, you know, do things. And this is more in the realm of like criminal types of issues of trying to get people out of a pathway where it looks like they're, you know, on the road to prison or something like that. Hervey Cleckley thought that this was basically an inborn disorder that, you know, people had no control of and just sort of basically got. You know, there is a longstanding kind of argument and distinction in the mental health field about the idea of sort of primary versus secondary psychopaths. And that distinction basically means that, you know, primary psychopath is used to describe the category of people where, you know, we assume for the most part that this is something they, you know, essentially, if not were born with, had a lot of predispositions towards. And there doesn't appear to be anything in like their upbringing and environment that would make you think, oh, there's a reason this person is like this. They're callous. They don't trust people. They're grandiose. You don't really see evidence of that. And yet they have those characteristics. And then the secondary psychopath kind of concept is the idea that you've got somebody who actually may look a lot like somebody who's highly psychopathic and have a lot of those same personality features. But it seems more environmentally driven, or there are things about their past that you could point to that kind of help you make sense to understand that, oh, you know, this person went through horrific things that caused them at an early age to become highly suspicious and untrustworthy and unwilling to, you know, develop emotional connections to other people or something like that. But at the surface level, those people look kind of similar. But you know, the background or where it might seem to come from, you know, is something that, people try to draw this, distinction. Practically speaking, I mean, in terms of, you know, if I have somebody living next door to me, I don't care about that distinction. But if you're talking about developing intervention programs and trying to, you know, again, change people's developmental pathways and things like that, then knowing it's more of an inborn sort of issue, obviously, is important. In terms of secondary psychopathy, if it's more sort of environmental factors that would lead you to think maybe if we can do more to change their environment, we might also be able to change their personality to some extent.
Are all psychopaths dangerous? Meaning, ones we hear about and we hear it thrown around, oh, it's a psychopath. Look, they did this horrible thing and that horrible thing over and over repeatedly and got away with it. That's one line of behavior. Can a psychopath also use that line of behavior for good? Where, look, they're helping all these children fight hunger. They're helping this or that in a very mechanical-esque way, but in a good way versus killing people or committing crimes. Are there good psychopaths out there, or does it always lead to negative behavior and negative consequences?
Yeah, I mean, that's a raging debate in the field right now in relation to a couple of different areas. And partly it's just an issue of how do you want to define what you call that disorder? And there are definitely people out there, and I sort of fall in this camp, that think that there is essentially the idea of potentially successful psychopaths who, for whatever reason, are, you know, capable of engaging in pro-social behavior. And, you know, as to go back to your earlier sort of analogy, you know, to artificially put down some of those buffer lanes to keep you in the right direction. And I didn't really mention this earlier on, but a lot of people also think fundamentally in terms of the emotional status of highly psychopathic people, that fearlessness is a big component of kind of understanding the disorder as well. And there's a very famous line by a psychologist named David Licken, who once said that heroes and psychopaths are twigs from the same branch. And I always like that sort of analogy or metaphor, because it kind of gets at that sort of issue that, you know, socialization may play a really big part if somebody has a genetic predisposition to be sort of emotionally callous and unconnected to people and not necessarily get afraid in high stress situations and really not experience anxiety. You know, you can, you know, if you look in the life histories of a lot of people we think heroic, that's kind of what they were like in terms of how they were hooked up, you know, and thankfully they got pointed in a certain direction. that led them to be able to do things that are in our society we think are super important. I'd make a terrible hero. I'm a very anxious sort of guy, you know, and, you know, you need to have the capacity to manage stress and things like that. And that a lot of people do believe that's something sort of part of the picture of being highly psychopathic. There are other people out there in the field who are more want to argue that sort of by definition, if it's psychopath, it must be bad, because we tend to think of mental disorders as uniformly being bad. And that if you've got somebody who's actually doing good things, then they're really probably not actually a psychopath. They might have some of those traits or something like that, but that's fundamentally a different thing. And that's something that psychologists and psychiatrists are still continuing to argue about, you know, even today.
It's an interesting thing to look at. How cognizant are psychopaths of their disorder? Is it something that many realize that, hey, there's something off here, or maybe I'm a little bit different? But do they actually hone in on what is going on, other than just feeling kind of different throughout their lives?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting question, and we don't really have great data on that. Most of the scientific research that goes on in relation to studying this disorder is based on, you know, people involved in the criminal justice system, you know, and that adds a layer to the complexity of, you know, their self-report and what they're willing to tell us about themselves. In terms of things like, you know, insight and things like that. I think even the most highly psychopathic person, if they're in the midst of a capital murder trial, are going to try pretty hard to inhibit, you know, letting somebody know the more sort of negativistic aspects of their personality. So there is research done, you know, with more people in the general population who aren't involved in the criminal justice system. But even there, you know, there's the question of, yeah, how much insight people have in regards to what they're really like. So like a common question on a personality test would be, you know, something like, I think people are out to get me. And actually, a truly paranoid person, if they're filling out that questionnaire, might not answer that question in the way you think, because they don't want you to know that they are paranoid, you know. And the same thing kind of goes with psychopathy. Some people have certainly enough insight to know, I was trained to know I shouldn't say these types of things, because people don't like them. And that gets even more difficult to get at when you're talking about evaluating somebody in a criminal case. It's highly adversarial. But there are definitely anecdotally, obviously there are people out there who have sort of that self-awareness that, you know, I'm a lot less fearful than most other people. I don't feel emotions as intensely as most other people seem to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether they put some sort of label on that, who really knows? I definitely do get calls from people because of some of the work that I've done, wanting me to evaluate them and basically tell them whether they're a psychopath or not. And my general reply to those things is the label doesn't really matter in terms of, you know, it's not that label is not going to explain anything really to you. It's just going to be a label to describe the traits that you already know you have.
Yeah.
If you do have those. So, you know, for those types of circumstances, I don't think the label is necessarily all that informative. It's just something to, you know, put a bow on something and call it something. But it doesn't necessarily explain why somebody is the way they are. In terms of their own sort of being able to understand themselves or something like that.
Someone who I've talked to several times here on the show, M.E. Thomas, she's come on and given us her view on some of the cases that we follow from a sociopath or psychopathic standpoint. And it's been very, very fascinating. I know you had worked with her a few years back. Can you speak to that at all and what that was like, considering she is a very self-aware individual of everything that affects her and how she is different?
Yeah, I mean, I always have to be a little bit cautious. I did an evaluation of Emmy Thomas, and I can talk about that because sure. she put my evaluation in her book, in her autobiography, sure. so it's not exactly confidential.
Yep.
But I always still want to be a little bit cautious about, you know, talking about things that weren't in the evaluation or things like that. But in a general sense,
yeah.
She is a good example of, you know, clearly if you read the book, somebody with a whole lot of insight about herself in a lot of ways. And one of the factors that probably plays a role in relation to that and potentially a role in terms of avoiding, you know, getting in trouble with the law or at least getting caught is, intelligence, you know, that's a factor that, you know, can change a lot of things about how somebody's life works out, you know. And she's obviously someone who you can tell is very, very bright. And I think that's an added kind of factor that isn't necessarily something you normally see. Psychopathy scores or ratings of how psychopathic somebody is generally aren't all that strongly related to like IQ tests or things mm-hmm. like that. But that just means that, you know, there are a lot of probably very bright, highly psychopathic people and a lot of very not bright psychopathic people. A lot of people do assume that the not bright ones are probably more likely to end up involved in the criminal justice system. And there's probably some truth to that. Yeah. So, I mean, there are definitely people out there that have more self-awareness and kind of understand how they are different from other people. Mm-hmm. And the reason I got, you know, involved in doing an evaluation of her in relation to her autobiography was because I thought, you know, I'm very interested in media issues. I teach a media psychology class at my university where I work, mm-hmm. and educating the public about these types of topics and, you know, getting information out there that, you know, even though psychopathy and sociopathy are very prejudicial types of terms, it doesn't mean that somebody's definitely, you know, committed crimes, or certainly not that they're necessarily a serial killer or something like that. So, you know, I saw that as a good opportunity to try to do something that would be informative to the public. And she's an ideal candidate to talk about these types of personality characteristics that she, you know, readily admits to having. And, you know, she's quite good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
This is Jonathan Goldstein from Heavyweight. If your finance team spends more time finding data than using it, if there's one entity here and one here and one here and one here, if scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that's powerful, painless, and proven. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's best deal ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple? Don't ruin it. Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the refs disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Saving money on your next project? Now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses. Or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges, ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
This is Jonathan Goldstein from Heavyweight. If your finance team spends more time finding data than using it, if there's one entity here, and one here, and one here, and one here. If scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that's powerful, painless, and proven. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to Dom.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.